You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, our guest says the deck is stacked against night owls in our society. She's got advice on how those night owls can cope.
First, the U.S. House of Representatives heads back into session next week, and Wisconsin's delegation will be back in the nation's capital. Last week, we checked in with Democratic Congressman Ron Kind, and now Republican Glenn Grothman is with us for a look at his priorities and his thoughts on news from the campaign trail.
Glenn Grothman represents Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District, which stretches from eastern Wisconsin to the central part of the state. Representative Grothman, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Glad to be on the show. We're flying between Princeton and Rosendale as we speak. So
Rosendale, don't drive too fast.
Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. That's exactly right. We got to be on the lookout for the cops.
Well, as you head back to Congress next week, what are some of your top priorities in the House?
Well, our number one priority will be the budget, of course. We're working on the budget right now. The budget has not been done yet. There's a disagreement up on the total amount spent, but we want to wrap up that budget. Then Paul Ryan has established some committees, one of which is dealing with welfare and opportunity. I'll be very active there. We're going to look at the disincentives we have in our society right now, both to work and to get married. That's something I look forward to dealing with. I've been touring various low-income housing projects in my district to see what's going good and what's going not good.
Is there something that you think Congress could do on the low-income housing issue that might help?
Well, I think for younger people, low-income housing, the elderly and disabled, the program seems to work just fine. But for the younger people, I think when I talk to a lot of the people who run the projects, they think a work requirement would be good. It's a very generous thing. Some of these low-income housing projects, there's paying nothing for rent, paying $50 for rent for what may be a 2 or 3 bedroom unit. Well, that's just not right. And I think I've gotten a lot of feedback saying that maybe we should put a 3 or 5 year requirement on this thing and tell people to get to work.
I know you've met with constituents in your district during this congressional recess. What kind of issues are you hearing from them? What's important in your district?
Good overall concern about the economy, as well as concern that we get a good president. I think a lot of people, you know, they don't know about the people who are out there right now. So there's a lot of general concern that America is not what it once was. Partly they're concerned about the welfare, what they perceive to be not that good of a work ethic among some younger people. But I think the major thing is they just want to see the economy take off more good jobs, get back to the days where, you know, somebody could work hard and support a family.
Well, you mentioned that presidential race. Of course, we just had our primary here, and I was hoping to hear your reaction to that, the big race between Senator Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Governor John Kasich didn't really get any delegates here. What did you think about how that all came out on Tuesday?
Well, I think we can see the public on both sides is not satisfied with the establishment. I mean, you have Hillary Clinton on the Democrat side. You couldn't have somebody more establishment, you know, somebody who's been around forever, kind of been part of the, I'd say, foreign policy failures of the Obama administration, the ethical lapses she'd had and the ethical lapses of her husband. You know, so some guy who's over 70 years old comes out of the blue and beats her. I mean, that's a shock. On the Republican side, you have Ted Cruz, probably the most anti-establishment senator up there. You have Donald Trump. I think a lot of people don't know what he stands for, but whatever he stands for, he sure comes across as not being establishment. People are tired of stuff as usual, which is kind of what I ran on 2 years ago. They're tired of politicians, you know, spending like drunken sailors. They are tired of a welfare state that's roping in more and more young people living the welfare lifestyle. Businessmen are tired of the excessive amount of regulation. More cost for the bankers, more cost for the manufacturers, more cost for the insurance companies. They're saying, hey, we need something different. I hope that the Republicans wake up in Washington now and do begin to pass more bills, changing our tax system, changing the welfare system, showing more respect for our Constitution. But I do think the Wisconsin primary should have sent a message, as many of the other primaries did, to the politicians in Washington. Hey, come on, let's go.
Your party may be headed, if you look at the math, to a contested convention. There's talk of, you know, does Trump come in first place but lose out to Ted Cruz, or do they both lose out to your delegation colleague, Paul Ryan? What would you think if it came out that way?
Well, Paul would be a good president. I think the important thing that if it winds up going not to Cruz and Trump, and I still think Ted Cruz might be able to get the votes, but it doesn't go to either one. The voters have sent a clear message. Okay, Paul would be good, but a clear message, not an establishment as always candidate, not a Jeb Bush sort of candidate. And I think number one, the thing that sunk so many of the establishment candidates so far is they're bad on immigration. You know, we need immigrants in this country. We need immigrants for many businesses. I enjoy talking to immigrants. But the last few administrations, be it the Bush, be it the Obama, or be it the Clinton, have not really been entirely serious about enforcing our immigration laws. In other words, they've said that new generation of Americans, the one thing we want is we want people, the first thing they do in this country is to break the law coming in. Well, the Republican primary voter does not want that. They like immigrants, but they're saying we want to pick the immigrants, not the people breaking the law. So whoever they pick, if it's not Cruz or Trump, they had better pick someone who's got a history of saying we've got to enforce our immigration laws.
Talking to Wisconsin Republican Congressman Glenn Grothman, getting ready to head back to business at the U.S. House next week. And you've been in the news for some comments on election night. WTMJ-TV asked you about Republicans' chances in the presidential race here in Wisconsin. And here's your answer. We'll give a listen. It got a lot of attention.
Well, I think Hillary Clinton is about the weakest candidate the Democrats have ever put up. And now we have photo ID, and I think photo ID is going to make a little bit of a difference as well.
There's a second part that got a lot of attention there. People are asking, and I'll ask you now, how would voter ID help Republicans win the presidential race here in Wisconsin?
Well, some Republicans wonder, and, you know, we haven't any convictions, or at least not widespread convictions, but you sometimes wonder if there's some irregularities in the voting. The whole purpose of photo ID is to make sure the person who votes is the person who they say they are. And we like to believe that the cleaner the election, the more confident we are that a Republican will win. So that's what I mean about that comment. You know, that's the reason we passed the bill. You know, there were concerns out there. I don't know why the Democrats fight that photo ID so much. I mean, you know, in other areas of life, you know, I get on an airplane, I got to show a photo ID. Some medicines, I have to show a photo ID. Depending on where I am in a bank, I'm going to have to show a photo ID when I cash a check to make sure who I am there. I don't know why the Democrats don't get more excited and say, oh, we're discriminating against the poor. They can't get on an airplane. We're discriminating against the poor. They can't buy certain medicines. We wonder why the Democrats are so opposed to knowing that the person who votes is really the person who they say they are. But it just confirms in my mind that it was a good law that we have. And one thing we found out about this week with a record turnout, no serious person can say that photo ID is making it difficult for people to vote, or you wouldn't have that record turnout, record number of people voting in an April election.
A former staffer for Republican State Senator Dale Schultz this week, mainly because of the use of the voter ID law this week, said, hey, I was at a meeting with Republican senators when they were crafting this thing, saying they were, he used the word giddy about the opportunity to, he said, suppress turnout among Democratic voting groups. Is that how you remember it from when this was being crafted?
Well, I don't know whether I'm the type of person who ever gets giddy about anything. I guess I think it was a good bill. I think there are a lot of Republicans who wonder if some fraud's going on out there, and they were happy to have the bill passed.
Well, I wanted to ask, you've moved, of course, from the state legislature to the federal legislature, and I've heard you've seen a big difference there at the state level. Senate and assembly members interact a lot, and you've seen very little interaction between members of the U.S. Senate and the House. Can you talk about that and how you think it affects the way we run the country?
Well, I think it's good when the senators in Madison, I thought it was good that the senators and assemblymen knew each other. There was sometimes a little friction between the Senate and the Assembly, but they knew each other. They saw each other in the rotunda. At the end of the evening, you'd go out together, knew each other. In Washington, the Senate is on the north side of the building. The congressmen are on the south side of the building. At the end of the day, the congressmen go further south to their offices. The senators go further north to their offices. There's not as much interaction. I think that's a bad thing. I mean, if you want to get something done, it's got to pass both houses. It's easier to pass both houses if you know the senators and the senators know the congressmen. It's just one thing that I think we ought to be looking at. I think one thing that the Republicans have done is they have a retreat each year now in January, in which at least the senators and congressmen are invited to get together. But I wish they would do that sort of thing more.
And go ahead.
I'll say I could spend an entire week in Washington and never see a senator. And that's not really right.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Representative Grothman, thanks for joining us.
Well, as always, I'm glad to talk to the erudite listeners of public radio.
That was Glenn Grothman, congressional representative from Wisconsin's 6th District.
Coming up, we'll find out what it can be like being a night owl and what can feel like a world geared toward early birds. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farah. There's more to come here on Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.